in order to take your gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus, we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like a Bible to follow along with this morning, feel free to pop your hand in the air and somebody can bring you a Bible. And when you have one, or if you open it up on your phone or your tablet or whatever it might be, please feel free to turn or flick or click or whatever it is you do to Luke chapter 9, which is where we're going to be based this morning. We are continuing our series in the book of Luke. We began in December. It is nearly July and we are in Luke chapter 9. That shows you that we are going to be going through it very, very carefully. Okay, we're not rushing through the book of Luke. We want to get everything we can out of this wonderful, wonderful gospel. Luke chapter 9. But we are kind of moving into Act 2 of Luke's gospel. There is a kind of distinctive change that we're going to see from this verse and onwards. It's exciting as Jesus invites the disciples and thus invites us to be central characters in what he wants to do. David prayed this morning that we are invited to be part of Jesus' story. That's exactly what Luke's going to be unveiling to us this morning. We are invited to be part of the story, to play our part. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read for us this morning. Let's read together. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave the town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard all about what was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. We'll stop there, but we will move on to the famous story, the very well-known story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, if we have time this morning. But we'll stay here for a moment first. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of kind of being mentored by somebody, or finding someone who you have great respect for. You almost look at them as a hero on this earth, and you look at them, and whether you know them personally or not, you want to follow them. You want to be like them. You want to learn things about them. You've probably had that experience in one way or another. I've had that experience from time to time. I remember very early on in my Christian life, I was a teenager, I was living in America at the time, and I was going to a youth group, and I really loved my youth pastor. He was just brilliant and cool and fantastic, and he was great at speaking, and I kind of wanted to speak and preach from the Bible. He was brilliant, and he was brilliant at running youth clubs and running funny games and all that different kind of stuff, and I just loved him. I thought, this guy's great. And he obviously saw some of that because he came to me and said, why don't you just start spending a bit of time with me? Why don't you come to a meeting with me and just sit there and ask any questions that you've got? Or why don't you come along in the week when I'm planning some of the youth group stuff and you can come and see how that works? Or come early to youth group and help us set up, and come early to church and see how that all works. And he just said, come and kind of stand by my side while I do things. And I was a kind of 16, 17-year-old, and I thought, oh, what an honor to be asked by this guy to stand by his side while he does these things. And I did that for a few months, and I just thought, this is brilliant, this is great, you know. And then I remember one specific time where we were talking. I got early to something, and we were planning kind of something for the youth group, and he said, why don't you do the talk this week? And now, looking back, I can see exactly what was happening, and it makes perfect sense. That's how you train someone, isn't it? That's how you do apprenticeship. That's how you do mentoring. You bring someone alongside with you, and then you get them to start doing stuff. It makes sense. But as a 17-year-old, I had no idea that that's what was happening. So out of nowhere, he turns to me and says, why don't you do something this week? And you go, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But at the same time, you think, I really want to do that because I'm excited. It's kind of what I want to do, but I don't know if I can do it. And you're trepidatious and you're nervous. And the best people ask people before they're quite ready. So I wasn't quite ready, right? But he asked me to do something. And it was a great honor to have just stood by him as he did the things that he did. But it was a great joy to actually be asked to do something. You feel a sense of belonging, but you also feel a sense of value. When you start to do the things that you feel God has called you to do, someone notices that in you and asks you to do them. We've, over the last couple of weeks in particular, been looking at the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And at times we've been marveling with the disciples at the power of Jesus Christ. The disciples have been sat next to Jesus going, wow, Jesus is amazing. Or who is Jesus? How can he do these things? The disciples have kind of been asked and brought alongside Jesus on this journey. And now we move into this moment where Jesus says to the disciples, well, stop just sitting and watching. Now stand and participate. Come and play your part. You have a central role to play. You're not here just to watch. You're here to do. You're not here just to sit. You're here to run. This is the moment that Jesus says, come on, be involved. And it's a moment of great value for the disciples, I'm sure. Because there is nothing that feels more valuing, if that's a word, than being given a purpose. If you're here normally, you'll know that we've kind of restated our vision as a church, as helping all people find their place in God's family and their purpose on God's mission. And we use both of those phrases because we don't want it to be something that seems like, oh, just come and sit and be a part of the family. That's good. But also, run and be a part of the purpose. Because God wants you to know that you belong, but that also you've got something to do. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your gifts, whatever your talents, you're not just a watcher. You're a participator. There's a family to belong to. There's a purpose to play a part in. That's what Jesus is calling every one of us to. And when we find something of that purpose in our life, man, it gives us value. And it makes us feel like, I know what I was created for. And each and every one of us was created to be a part of God's mission. Each and every one of us was called to be a missionary. And now when you hear the word missionary, you may think of a particular type of person, style of person. You may think of a person who's going to another place. And of course, you're right. That is a term in our language that's been used for somebody who is sent from one geographical location to another geographical location. As a church, you might think of people who have been sent from here before and they've gone to other nations. You might think of Dawn and Siraj, who we know are going to another place to proclaim the gospel. And we might think, well, they're missionaries, but I'm not sure that I'm a missionary. But what Jesus wants to show the disciples and us this morning is that we are very much sent. So if you remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the man who had a legion of demons within him. And when that legion was cast out, he came to Jesus and said, please let me go with you. But Jesus said, no, I want you to go home and tell people about what I've done for you. That was a commission to that man, and it's the same commission to you this morning. When you leave those doors, you are not leaving Christian service. You're just getting started. You're being sent. You're sent home. Wherever your home is, whatever town or village it might be in, whatever your workplace tomorrow, whatever your friendship group, whatever your family, you are sent to that place. Let me read to you some words of Paul that we find in the book of Acts. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Jesus has appointed appointed our boundaries and our breaths. He knows where we live and what we're doing and who we're interacting with. And he's put us here for a very specific reason, that we might turn to him and so that we might help others turn to him. We are here for him. Every step, every breath, every boundary, everything that we set our eyes upon, every bit of land that we put our foot upon, we are sent into that place by Jesus Christ in order to be a missionary. We are sent in order to be a light for him. There is no area of your life that Christ does not want to invade. There is not one area of your life that you are not able to bring the light of Jesus Christ into. You, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, have a vital role in the mission of God. You are the only person who can reach some people. You are the only person who has an opportunity to share the love of God with some people. So often, as Christians, we can spend a lot of our lives wishing and hoping that the people around us, oh, if I could get them into church, or if I could get them into a certain place, if I could get them before this other Christian or this other Christian. No, they're in front of you. Jesus has put you there. Now, that should fill us with a little bit of a sense of, oh, I'm not sure if I can do that. That's good. We're going to learn that in a moment. But it should also fill us with a sense of purpose and excitement now. Because God's not just put you there, he's put you there as you are, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your gifts. You are the perfect person to be in the place where God has placed you. We are all missionaries. And this morning, I want to talk about two marks of a missionary, two really important marks of a missionary. If we accept that, if we believe that, if we say confidently or a bit trepidatiously, God, I'll be a missionary. I'll go for you. I'll be sent for you, whatever it looks like. If we do that, then we need to learn what that looks like. What does it look like? What are the marks of a missionary? The first mark of a missionary that I want to share with you this morning is a reliance on God. A reliance on God. When Jesus sends the disciples out to the villages and the towns, he does so with some pretty strange requests, okay? I'm not sure if you've ever had the experience of going to like a camp or a trip or a weekend away. Maybe you were a cub or you were a scout. I was a scout, which makes me cool, all right? And my daughter is a cub, a cub's leader. Hannah, her cub leader, is in the corner. So sometimes I get letters from Hannah about what Elise needs to take to her cub camp. Right? And so you need to take hiking boots, and you need to take a torch, and you need to take a hat and a sleeping bag, and you need to take all these different things. And that's sensible, right? You may have had that experience. You're going away somewhere. Here's the stuff you'll need. You're going into a meeting. Here's the stuff you'll need. Make sure you take this. Make sure you take that. Don't come unprepared. But what does Jesus say to the disciples? He says, don't take a bag. Don't take a purse. Don't take any food. Don't take an extra shirt. Don't take any of these things. Just go as yourself. It's the opposite of good advice, but it's what the disciples needed to hear. Because what Jesus wanted to teach them was that they needn't be relying on themselves. They needed to rely on Jesus. They shouldn't take everything that they thought would give themselves power. Oh, if I have this, if I have that, nothing bad will happen. No, no, no. Go and rely on God. Rely on what he has already set up for you. Rely on his plans for you. We need complete reliance on Jesus. And so Jesus wants to strip them of some of these physical things. Get rid of that, get rid of this, because if you take it yourself, you're going to think that you've succeeded and you've done it. No, get rid of those things. I just want you to rely on me. That's a mark of a missionary. And it's not just with stuff, it's with people. Jesus says to them, when you go to a place, find a house where you're welcome and stay there. He doesn't say if you don't like it very much, find a better house. He says, stay there. If you find a place, stay there. That's the place to be. Whoever you find, whoever's open to your message, stay with them. They're the people to be with. And he says, if you go some places and they don't welcome you, Well, you brush the dust off your feet and you leave. And that was a very common thing in the time. It was a way that people would show a kind of act of almost kind of condemnation against someone. If they weren't welcomed or they weren't treated well, they'd shake the dust off their feet as they left. And Jesus is saying, if that happens to you, if you go to a town and you're not welcome, they don't hear your message, I'll shake the dust off your feet and leave. That's one of those things that sounds a bit odd to say. It sounds a bit odd for Christians to say it, because the kind of Christian mantra, and I'm not suggesting it shouldn't be this way, is that we need everybody to love us. If I'm really living like Jesus, if I'm really kind and loving and welcoming, then surely everybody will like me. And if I come across somebody who doesn't like me because I'm a Christian or because I say something or because of my faith or the way that I live, well, it's my job to make them like me. Yeah, I'm not going to dissuade you from that. People should like you. I don't like the kind of Christians who go around saying, everybody hates me, but it's because I love Jesus. And you think, well, I can think of lots of other reasons people don't like you. Right? So we should want to be liked. We should be welcomed. We should be loved. Or if we act like Jesus, we should be loving people and kind people and all those good things. But there will be times where we come across people who, because of our message, don't want to hear us, don't want to receive. And it's okay at those times to recognize that I'm not reliant on other people's opinion of me. The gospel message of Jesus Christ, its power and its truth, isn't reliant on other people's acceptance of it. It's true no matter what. It's powerful no matter what. And there are times, I think this is what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples and us, that we would work so hard to try and get people to receive and accept and love us, that it's almost become something that we're reliant on. If I can get the acceptance of people, if people will respect me, if I have a good reputation, okay, if I can go to any town and be received, we can become reliant on that. And Jesus wants to say, don't rely on that. Rely on the power of the gospel, no matter how it's received. It comes with reputation as well. Often as Christians, we can be keen to make sure that people of good repute and good reputation accept the gospel. And that's a good thing. We want people of all different types to receive the gospel. But there's a moment here in particular, this moment with Herod. And Herod hears about Jesus. And it says that Herod wants to meet Jesus. And you might think, well, if we're moving into Act 2 of Luke's gospel, maybe this is how it goes. Maybe Jesus goes and sees Herod, a king, a tetrarch, a man of power, a man of authority. And maybe the gospel goes from being about the poor and the needy, and it goes into the realms of the elite. This is where the gospel goes now. This is where it makes a real difference. This is where it builds and grows. But no, we don't see Herod until the day before Jesus dies. And when we see Herod, Herod is showing off and trying to get Jesus to do a miracle for him, but Jesus stays silent before him. Jesus isn't looking to build a reputation among the kings and the elite. Jesus isn't looking for us to do the same. Jesus is looking for us in every circumstance, whether it be with the lowly or the high, whether it be with many, many things or no purse, no belt, and no bread. Jesus is looking for us in every circumstance to not become reliant on the things that we have, the reputation that we've got, the relationships that we've made, but to be reliant on one thing, that we are sent by Jesus Christ. And that if he sends us, he is with us. If he sends us, he will equip us. If he sends us, it is into circumstances and situations that he already knows about and he has prepared us for in ways that we could never truly know or imagine. Christian mission is not an attempt to curry favor or build fame or garner reputation. It isn't a place to build up the bank balance or build up one CV. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the comfort seeker. It's for the one who can take no purse, no bread, no extra shirt, and head into each day saying, I rely on God and God alone. His call upon my life is enough for me to go. Those who welcome me, I will stay in their life as long as I can to show them Jesus. Those who don't, don't. And I won't judge the gospel based upon how people respond to it. But I know that it is true and it will lead me into every situation. This truth should give those of us who live with issues of confidence much faith. Because you might feel like, well, if I'm called to be a missionary, Jesus has made a mistake. Because I'm not much of a missionary, right? It comes from that thing of missionaries are really impressive people, right? No, if everybody's sent, then some of us are going to think, Jesus has made a mistake. Why is he sending me? What have I got? What can I do? I can't speak. I can't declare. I can't proclaim. What can I possibly do for him? Well, this should give us much confidence because Jesus with the disciples wants to strip them back even more before he sends them out. He says, anything that you could find confidence in, I'm going to take it away from you and then I'm going to send you. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't have much, Jesus would want to say, well, I know, but I'm probably going to take some of that anyway and then send you, right? Because you need little. For my mission, all you need is yourself and the call of God upon your life. Because who he's made you, who you are, is perfect for the places that he's put you and the people that he wants to reach through you. We need to accept that we are dearly loved, unique, individually created sons and daughters of God, sent into the circumstances of our lives with power from Jesus Christ. We need to accept that though we may feel like we don't have much, we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. We go because of his love for us. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. For those who have little confidence, this should give us more. For those who have too much confidence, it should do the other thing. If you're going into every circumstance thinking that you've done Jesus a favor, you need to recognize that that's not how it works. Jesus sometimes needs to strip us back in order to use us. Now, for those of us who want to go into every circumstance and into mission adding caveats, it should give us pause for thought. Well, Jesus, I'll go for you if it looks like this. If I still have my comfort, if I still have this, if I still have that. Jesus, if I don't really have to do all the things your word says, if I don't really have to accept all the things in the Bible, if I don't really have to live a life that might cause a change to my comfort in any way, if, well, Jesus is going to go on to say in Luke chapter 9, towards the end of this wonderful chapter, that foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. If we add caveats to our mission, Jesus is going to invite us to know that we may think that if we can rely on all these other things in our life will be comfortable and perfect, but you're going to see that all that other stuff's going to fall away. If you can lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, whatever comes my way, Jesus, I'm living for you. And what you're going to find is a greater purpose, a greater joy, a greater reason for living than you could ever find in anything else. If you will lay your life down before Jesus, you'll live an exciting life for him, and it won't matter that you haven't got all the other stuff, the caveats that you might add to it. I still remember a few years ago, we had a church weekend away, and a guy called Phil Cheel came to speak, and he spoke with his wife, and they shared his testimony, and Phil's done lots of different things, missions at home and abroad, and his wife said, when Phil asked me to marry him, he said, I can promise you this, you'll never be rich, but you'll never be bored. Because Jesus has called us to great things. We may never have all the caveats we would add to the Christian faith, but if we truly give our life to him, we'll never be bored. We'll be going after what he's called us to, the purpose of his mission, and that's the greatest thing we could ever live for. We'll know true joy if we commit ourselves to his mission, if we rely on him. The first mark of a missionary is reliance on Jesus Christ. The second mark is power. Jesus said to the disciples, in a few chapters we're going to hear it, when he died and he'd risen again, Jesus said to the disciples, go to the ends of the earth, go to all these different places, but don't go yet. Don't go until I've clothed you with power from on high. Then go. Go once you have the gift of the Spirit. Don't go in your own power. He does it here in chapter 9. Before they go, it says that Jesus gave them power and authority. A mark of a missionary for Jesus is that they go not in their own power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. They go relying on him. We must be those who in every day recognize we can't do it in our own strength, but God gives us strength. We can't change things in our own power, but God has empowered us. In order to kind of wrap up this morning, I want us to look at this next bit of scripture, the feeding of the 5,000, as something of a case study for what we've just heard. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," about 5,000 men were there. They only counted men in this time and age. That means there were women and children, probably over 10,000 there. But he said to his disciples, "Make each sit down in groups of 50 each." The disciples did so. And everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. This is an incredible story. Jesus miraculously creates food and feeds all of these people. It's an incredible story. And within it, we see these marks again of a missionary. Because we see the disciples and we see their reliance not on their own strength, but on Jesus Christ. And so let's think of the disciples in this moment. They've just come off a high. They're probably very tired, right? In fact, we know they're tired. We know Jesus is tired because they're withdrawing to go to a quiet place. That's what they're trying to do. They might be disillusioned because they may have just heard the news about John the Baptist being beheaded, right? So in this moment, the disciples and Jesus probably want to find a place where they can relax, where they can rest, and where they can sit for a little while. But what happens is the crowds know where they're going and they get there before them. So when they arrive, there is this massive crowd, and you could forgive the disciples and you could forgive Jesus for saying, "I'm going to get back in the boat and I'm going to go somewhere else. I was looking for a place to relax. I was looking for a place to rest." If we're relying on our own strength and our own power, that might be what we say. I need to retreat. I need to get away from the mission for a little bit. And Jesus wants to remind us that every day is part of the mission. Do we need to rest? Of course we do. But do we also need to recognize that there will be times when the mission might seem like work? It needs to be intentional. We need to wake up and say, though everything else I could rely on in the world is calling me, I'm going to step in faith into the mission that God has for me. In other accounts of this story, it says that Jesus looked at the crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes we need Christ-like compassion to drive us out the door in the morning. We could be tempted to say, "I want to rely on other things. I want to give myself to other things." But no, look at the world like sheep without a shepherd that so desperately need the gospel, and I have been called to share it. Jesus, give me strength to rely on you this morning, to step out into you this morning. That's what God has called us to rely on. And as this story continues, Jesus does that thing. The same thing that that youth pastor did to me. When I would come to him and ask questions, "What are we going to do this week? What are you going to do? What are you going to preach on?" And he said, "You can speak this week." The disciples come to Jesus and they say, "A good idea. We should let these people go. Let them go and find some food. Because there's too many of them. We can't feed them. They've been here all day. Let them go and find some food." And he turns around to them and says, "You feed them." Jesus wants to do that to us. We come with our questions. "Jesus, how will you do this? How will you reach my friends? How will you reach my neighbors? How will you reach my family?" And Jesus would turn to us and say, "You do it. You. That's what I want to do. I want you to go." And we might look as they looked and say, "That's impossible. I only have this little bit of bread and these little fish. I don't have much. How can I do that?" That's where Jesus wants to get us to. Jesus calls you to be a missionary. And this morning you might respond to that completely understandably and say, "How would I do that? I don't have much. I have bread and fish. I have a few gifts. I have a few talents, a few things I can do. I've got a few relationships, not much. I know a few people who don't know Jesus, not much. I go to church. It's not a massive church, but I go to church. And I serve on the tea and coffee team. It's not much. I've signed up to the fun day. It's not much. You know, Jesus, you want me to be a missionary, but I haven't got much in my hands. Jesus wants us to get to that point of reliance. Jesus, you call me to a mission, but I can't do it. Look, this is all I've got. It's all I've got. Because that's when the other mark of a missionary comes in. Jesus wants to take the little that you've got and empower it and do something miraculous through it. Jesus wants us to come with our little. I don't have much. Jesus wants you to come with your lack of confidence. I don't have much. And he wants to empower you with his Holy Spirit so that you can use your bread and your fish, your not much, your gifts and your talents, what you don't feel is a lot. You can use that in order to glorify his name. Because the truth is, the church can be very good, and as individuals and as Christians, we can be very good at doing a lot of things in our own strength. We can do a lot of things without God. We can sing songs like we've sung this morning. We can do it without God, without inviting him to be a part of it. We can go do the fun day next week. We could do that without God. Other community organizations run fun days bigger and better than we do. It's doable. We can do it without God. We can do lots of things in our own power. But Jesus invites us to invite him into the things that we do so that they're not just good things, okay things, nice things to be involved in, but they're things that can have an eternal significance because his power is a part of them. If we say in our everyday, Jesus, I can't do much today, but what I can do, would you empower it? Would you send your spirit? Would you give it purpose and meaning because you are in it as well as me, because we're co-working together? Then you can go with confidence into your relationships and the people that you know, and you can share your faith with confidence because Jesus is empowering to do it. When we go to the fun day, we can go with confidence because we know God is with us. When we come together to worship, we can do so with confidence because we know the Holy Spirit is with us. We can bring the not much that we have, and Jesus can take it and multiply it, and demonstrate his great power through it. We are all called to be missionaries, every single one of us. We are as sent as anyone else. When you go through those doors, you are sent by Jesus Christ into a life of purpose, into an exciting mission, not into a life of apathy and boredom. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is mission, and we are sent into it. And we are sent as missionaries who must be reliant on him. I won't try to gather as much stuff or reputation or relationships as I can. I will trust what he has sent me to do, and I'll go in that. And we are sent with power. We must be those who pray each and every day, Holy Spirit, would you empower me? Because if I just go in with these bread and these fish, if I just go in with the little that I have, I can't make much of a difference. But if I go with you, Jesus, if I go with you, Here's what I encourage us to do. The band are going to come up in a moment. We're going to sing a song of worship. Here's what I encourage us to do. Go into this week with a commitment to a daily prayer. When you wake, bring yourself before God. Recognize that in your own strength you don't have much. But ask him to empower and multiply what you do have. Ask him to put you in situations where you can do something for him. Ask him to bring you next to people who need his love and his care. Ask him to bring you close to people who you can share the gospel with. Ask him, God, I know I don't have much, but I want you to use me. Use me today. And then take a step out your door knowing that you are sent, knowing that he is with you. Take a step into every circumstance with confidence because who you are is exactly who you need to be to do what God has called you to do. Never think of yourself as disqualified or unable to be part of the mission of God. You are a vital part of what God wants to do in the lives of the people around you when you rely on him and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together.